Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm at Weston tonight. I'm joined by the Super to my wild card weekend. How are you doing tonight, Taylor?
Woo, bro, boy! Woo! I'm doing okay, man.
You gotta do that every episode until he doesn't get hired in Houston.
I gotta do that every beginning. I'm doing wild. I'm doing especially wild this weekend. I'm very much looking forward to some playoff football finally in my life. I finally feel like as a Cowboys fan, this is what I've been looking forward to because the division was already wrapped up. So now the season truly begins where usually I'm laughed at. This is where it happens.
Yeah, Super Bowl every year.
Here we go.
It doesn't matter if Quincy Carr is the quarterback or Chad Hutchinson or Tony Romo or Dakre Prescott.
This year is so open, though. It's just going to crush me because it's like, man, I don't know who's better out of any of the teams. To your point, what we've talked about, all about matchups, but it's truly anybody's game where this is a season now to kind of devastate me.
Yeah. It'd
be hot. It really would be.
I would just be like devastated if like, I was a Dallas fan. We lost to Jimmy Garoppolo this weekend.
Oh, my God. We're not even on the game yet.
I think I'd stop watching.
No, I don't want to hear it right now. I don't want to talk about it.
If I lost that sexy little kid in Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, my God.
Meow.
Do I need to get you a Jimmy G jersey now?
Maybe he's the quarterback here next year.
Oh, no. There's
Brian Flores, Jared Mayo, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't know why you're trying to dream of these
meow.
Things. It's never going to happen. You're not going to get your kid. I don't know why you keep wanting it.
Yeah, it's a shame.
He doesn't want you, man. And plus, because Jimmy G is winning, man, they're not going to get rid of him.
They're going to get rid of him this year.
You hate what's-his-face.
They're still going to.
But you hate him.
I mean, I hated Lance this year. I'm not saying he can't be good in the future. You know, he has a great arm. He can't break any tackles. He can't run very well. But, you know, like Garoppolo is definitely better than him this year. So... Yeah. This weekend is the Super Wild Card weekend. We got six games. We got two on Saturday. We got the craptacular game, the first game of the postseason, which is usually the worst one. We have Vegas-Cincy. Saturday night, we have Buffalo-New England. Sunday at 12, we have Philly-Tampa Bay. Sunday afternoon, we have Dallas-San Francisco playing the Nickelodeon game. Sunday night, we have Pittsburgh, Kansas City. And then Monday night, which is outrageous, we have Arizona, Los Angeles for a Monday night playoff game. The NFL has, you know, made too much of a good thing. And now we have to sit here and watch six of these instead of a nice four, you know.
I'm kind of looking forward to the big weekend. The only thing I don't understand is the late Sunday night game, which I mentioned before. It just doesn't make sense.
Because we have to see Patrick Mahomes as a child wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey.
I really don't understand why the Big Ben just continuously gets the late games where...
It's because of Mahomes. It's not because of Ben.
Matt, I need to know what the... And by the way, this is what I need a fan to do here. If they care about me, just look up the ratings between the 49ers and Cowboys versus the Pittsburgh Steelers and Kansas City Chiefs.
It's going to be higher, and also that Dallas-San Francisco game, it's on the Paramount Plus channel. So nobody can even find it to watch it either.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. And so it's like you're going to pay CBS. $5. Yeah. It's not on CBS. It's on Paramount Plus. So even that game on a strange channel, you're going to have to pay extra money maybe to watch. That game will still have more views than Pittsburgh, Kansas City.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. I want to know the views. And by the way, Paramount Plus, I already own, so whatever. And by the way, the key is split it between your families.
Hey, can I have your login so I can watch the South Park thing?
No, you can't have my log.
I won't watch the Dallas game.
Like I said, it's split up between family. Only one person has one type of account out of any
what
of them.
We're family. What if I take you to Olive Garden? Can I have it then?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. That's a hard bargain.
So earlier, a second ago, we did a David Coley Got Fired podcast. Make sure you listen to that one. Make sure you subscribe and everything like that because Taylor is tired of his job. And he's trying to become a professional podcaster. So don't listen to me. Don't listen to it because you like the show or because you like what we say or you like me at all. Listen to it because we want to make sure Taylor can quit his job and become a professional podcaster.
How to save a life.
There we go. And this is your chance to plug your Smallville podcast to our 6 million listeners.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone needs to start listening to Somebody Save Me. The problem is, they need to do what you don't do. I know it's a terrible show, which is why you need to watch it.
No, it's... Oh, you're talking about... Okay, Smallville's a terrible show.
Yeah, you need to actually watch Smallville. Unlike you. Come on, it's Superman. It's corniness. It's what you love. You watch The O.C.
Yeah, I thought The O.C. was funny.
By the way, you struggled saying that. I don't think you knew that, did you? I knew that you knew that. Yeah.
Yeah, I told you.
No, your wife told me how much you were.
No,
upset.
I told you she'd been watching. I was like, yeah, I liked it. I liked
she
it.
She said
bit.
That you yelled at her because she skipped an episode or she watched an episode without you.
She watched all of it without me after a while.
And you said you have to go back.
No, I didn't do that.
So your wife was lying?
I mean, the best episode of television ever is when Marissa dies. All she does that is actually, get drunk and make mistakes and cries and shoots people and almost fights somebody, almost kills somebody else. And then that's what she gets for messing around with that bad guy from Never Back Down, you know? That's a bad hombre. That's what you get.
Well, he's also the villain in Twilight. So if he's the villain in Never Back Down and in Twilight, you know he's trouble.
Yeah, and she's definitely have watched those before, too.
Oh, for sure.
It's right in her wheelhouse.
And let's be honest, too. The moment she dies, everyone's problem goes away.
Yeah.
Boom, everyone's happier.
Everyone's so much happier the next season.
Yep.
They had to create new, like, very minuscule problems because everybody was too happy.
Well, one of their problems was creating a comic book because everyone was too happy.
Yeah. So, wait, we can, like, we have free time now that we don't have to worry about Marissa?
Oh, my God. So, wait, nobody's getting a call from the ambulance or the cops saying that they found her?
Wow, there's, like, I didn't realize a day was so long. Like, you can get so much stuff down.
All right, we're starting an OC podcast. Here it comes.
You could do that. You can just take turns talking to everybody's girlfriends or wives, you know. Just have a rotating guest.
By the way, I would get into fights. That's the only problem. I have very strong opinions on shows and those characters.
That'd be fun.
Especially my twin.
Yeah, the worst part of the show. So we're going to start here with Vegas, Cincinnati. I got the clock set for 10 minutes. The Bengals are 4-point or 5.5-point favorites at home. So the Raiders to get into the postseason, Taylor. They won 4 games in a row. They beat Nick Mullins in a COVID game that was actually even pushed back to try to hope and pray that Case Keenum could start. It didn't happen. They beat Drew Locke because Teddy Bridgewater died this year, which crushed the Denver Broncos playoff hopes. They beat Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts, and Carson Wentz is terrible, and the Colts are stupid, and they suck, and their whole fan base deserves every bit of bad luck they get for booing Andrew Luck. And they beat the Chargers in overtime, in a game that they didn't need to win, they could have tied to in the postseason anyways. And also, all 4 of these games they won were one-score games. Have you liked watching the Raiders this year? Do you have – what are they best at? Is there anything good you can say about the Raiders?
So, yeah, I actually don't mind the Raiders whatsoever. The problem is they're truly just missing a big target down the field now, obvious reasons. But when it comes to what the Oakland Raiders –
like what?
I don't want to get into that.
Deshaun Jackson, Taylor.
Yeah. Deshaun Jackson doesn't know where he is on the field. I'm still convinced whenever he caught the ball, he didn't know where he was. So when it comes to the Oakland Raiders, though, I just think that if they're able to dominate the ball with Josh Jacobs, that then they're able to make things work where then they can open the field a little bit more. The problem is if their running game can't get off the ground with Jacobs, they're completely screwed. Because like I said, without any type of deep threat or without any type of real big threat, period, for them to truly focus on, the Raiders are going to be in trouble with this game. And even with Cincinnati already playing them earlier in the year, Cincinnati crushed them. So if it's just one of those cases where if Cincinnati just has an ultimate blood in the first half, I just don't see Oakland being able to catch up. The problem is I can also see Oakland having one of those fluke games.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it kind of like lends itself to the wide openness of it. I think one of the problems like the Raiders have in this game is that the Bengals have a real boom or bust defense. They've given up a bunch of plays over 20 yards this year, 73 of them, which is the fifth most in football. And the Raiders, just like you mentioned, don't create very many big plays at all. It's a real ball control offense. Like, Derek Carr's been a top five quarterback, like a fringe top five quarterback this year, but just doesn't have the touchdowns that the other guys have. Like, he had 23, but the best quarterbacks this year always have like 40 and that sort of thing. Just because they don't get a lot of red zone trips, it's a ball control offense. They run the ball a lot. They're not very good at it. It's a short passing, you kind of churn it out sort of team. And, like, the Bengals are a team that are going to score points, and you have to score points with them. You get to match them downfield. And this really isn't the offense kind of, you know, built for it, too. The other problem also is that their pass defense is below average. Ja'Marr Chase had a really good game against them whenever they played earlier this year. And I just don't see how they can – I think they're just going to have problems defending the pass in this game. They have pretty good pass rushers on the outside. The Bengals are probably easiest to be on the interior, even though Isaiah Prince has replaced Riley Reiff at right tackle. And so, like, if they can get some edge rush against Prince, you know, because Jonah Williams is really good at left tackle, that's kind of the only path I can see them stopping the Bengals offense, you know, a little bit this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, because even with the Raiders, even with you mentioning they won their last four games, man, they were all within
19-17,
2016. Yeah, so there's a lot of magic that the Raiders are going to have to pull in order to make this happen. And if I'm being really honest here, I just think it would be a real big disappointment if Cincinnati were to be able to lose this game. Because with the Raiders, I mean, it's not only just Josh Jacobs, but their only receiver is Waller, right? They don't have
anybody. Well, Waller's hurt.
Waller's not going to play?
No, he's been hurt for a long time. It's Foster Moreau. It's Hunter Renfro. You know who stepped up a lot for him? Zay Jones.
I thought he was coming back.
No, he's hurt. I love Zay Jones because he had this like slant and go route for Buffalo probably like 5 years ago, and I was like, this is one of the most beautiful routes I've ever seen in my entire life. And just because I watched that one route, I'm like, I love Zay Jones, and I've been holding out, waiting for him to be good, and you were finally here, you know. Sometimes it's Tre'Quan Smith. Sometimes it ends up being, you know, Zay Jones.
It's never the Zay Jones. You've never even mentioned Zay Jones whatsoever. And by the way, what has he even done really that you're impressed with here?
He had like 126 yards last week and things like that.
He didn't have that last week. He only had like 27 yards.
Or 2 weeks ago.
Whatever. He doesn't have that once. I don't even know what you're impressed with.
All right. Okay. Against Indy at 120 yards. Against the Chargers, he had 27. Against Denver, he had 50. 546 this year. He's really stepped up, you know.
But here's the thing, though. It's what we're exactly talking about here. The Raiders don't have anybody. We're like arguing over pennies here. And that's
Zay Jones is at least a dime.
He's a nickel.
He's a nickel and two pennies.
All right, fine. I'll meet you at 7.
But like fresh pennies, not with all that gum and gunk on them.
Fine.
When was the last time you saw a penny?
What do you mean? I see a penny all the time. I got pennies today.
I haven't seen a penny in forever.
You ever pay cash?
No.
It's probably why you haven't seen a penny.
It's been years.
Jackass.
I grew up seeing pennies everywhere, all the time. Pennies, there's a lot of pennies in places.
Yeah.
I don't see pennies anymore.
We all used to save pennies. Now that we just have cards, that's all we care about. Just give me the plastic.
Yeah. Also the Raiders' run offense isn't very good, too. Like, Josh Jacobs hasn't been all that great. They've had offensive line injuries this year. Their offensive line right now is Colton Miller, Simpson, Andre James, Leatherwood, their early first-round pick who couldn't play right tackle, and then they have Bram Parker playing right tackle. So their offensive line is pass-protected. You know, not very good, not very well, but the ball has been out quick. And again, like, they're not a very good run-blocking team. Rodney Barber has been pretty good, though, as a backup running back. For him. I guess it's Rondé Barber. I don't know. He used to play for the Broncos, but he's been a pretty good backup running back for him too this year. I just think it's a bad matchup for them. And, like, I don't think the Raiders would be a good matchup for any of these teams also. They're just very mediocre. They won a bunch of games close at the end of the year. They played backup quarterbacks. You know, they played against the Chargers team that can't stop the run, so they're finally able to run the football against the worst run defense in the league. And this week, I think, will just be different for the Bucks, for the Bengals, who have a good, have a very, like, disruptive defense, who creates a lot of big plays, but they give up big plays, and the Raiders just don't create them very much in offense.
Yeah, but it's like going back. I mean, I can just go through the Raiders, and it's gross to look at. It's gross to see that personnel. It's gross to see who you think is putting up points, where then you're comparing it to Cincinnati. Matt, I mean, I truly just love the offense so much and all the weapons that Joe Burrow has. So with the Raiders and their defense, just I don't see how the Raiders in Cincinnati turns into a gigantic shootout. And that's the only way that I think the Vegas has a chance.
Yeah, it has to become a muck game.
Exactly.
They have pretty good run defense this year, though. Like, I really think for the Raiders, it comes down their pass rush. Like, can Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, can they get, like, 4 sacks and 10 quarterback hits?
But, dude,
can Quinnen Jefferson, like, anchor the interior of the pocket? Like, I think that's what it comes down to, you know?
But do you think that they're going to be able to stop both all the passing with Joe Burrow, getting after him? Because even if you do get after Joe Burrow, do you think they're going to be able to stop Joe Mixon?
Yeah, Mixon's been great. They've had a really good outside. Like, it's been surprising how good their outside zone game has been this year, too. But, like, the Raiders have had a pretty good run defense this season. It's been kind of surprising. Like, Abraham or Jonathan Abrams has actually been able to make a dent in the run game finally after getting picked on so much, you know, and passing downs for, like, it was kind of like his, he was like Jamal Adams, you know, but you're worse in the pass coverage.
So do you think that when the Cincinnati Bengals wins the playoff game, like, they'll hold up a Marvin Lewis sign and then, like, put up the middle fingers or something? Do you think that's going to happen?
So the Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1990. They've lost, I think, 8 straight wild card games in a row.
And this would be the game that they would should and could and need to win.
Yeah. In that playoff game, they beat the Houston Oilers, like, 41-17. And the other interesting thing here, too, like, the Raiders, you know, they went to the playoffs once in the last 5 years. That was 16, and Derek Carr broke his leg that year. And Connor Cook was the quarterback against the Houston Texans, and Jadeveon Clowney was really good that game, and the Texans won, like, you know, 20-9 or whatever. And Cook had one of the worst playoff games you'd ever see.
I can't believe that I'm going to say that. I actually feel bad for Derek Carr.
I do, too.
This is a man that truly gives his life for the Raiders, and they should take care of him.
That's why you don't want to have a gothic girlfriend. You give them everything you can, and it's never good enough, and they're just a black hole, you know?
Yeah, but I like that they have tattoos and that they're pale.
They're cool. Well, you have to watch Nightmare Before Christmas once a week, you know?
Yeah, but
it's Friday night, so you and watch him, like, as long as it's not Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah, it's like, fine, we can watch Edward Scissorhands, and you're like, fine.
No, Donnie Darko all the way. I just think that in the month of October, you always want one.
Yeah, that's when they come to life.
There you go. It's a real hocus-pocus thing.
Yeah. So that's the clock has just gone up here. I'm going to go Cincy 30, Raiders 20.
All right, so I'm going to go Cincinnati 41, and I'm going Las Vegas Raiders 22.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's a destruction here, and I think Cincinnati's going to want to prove something that it's like what we've talked about, where this is a weekend where the upsets I don't see likely happening, and that's why Cincinnati, having this prolific offense, they got to destroy the Raiders. They just have to. For me to be a believer, this better not be a close game.
Well, the Bengals can't win the first in the playoffs, but it's all new teams, all new players, all new coaches. The other thing I want to say about the Raiders, too, like, Carr's been really good this year, and, like, it's just been overshadowed with all the off-field stuff with the Raiders. And, like, that's why you don't want to have a football team in Vegas. It's a curse. It's a burial ground, you know? It's a bad idea. But you know what's weird, though, is the hockey team's been fine. The hockey team, zero problems. But I think it's because they're all drunk and crazy to begin with. But the football team, you know, it's just been a lot of bad things have happened since they moved there.
Well, it's only because you're allowed to bang on the glass at a hockey game. That's usually why everything works out well.
It's crazy how expensive those seats are, too, for the hockey game.
Are you kidding me? Those seats are Man. But
we looked and we went. And this was like 4 years ago.
If you want to.
It was $90 to get in.
If you want to, we need to get on the glass seats, $1,000 a ticket.
No.
In.
Let's rob an ATM.
I'm in for it, man. Let's do it.
Yeah. We'll have to wait for somebody to die and we get some inheritance and we can, instead of investing, we can go to Vegas and get glass seats and be like, it's what he would have wanted.
That's exactly it. Look, I'm bringing their ashes with me. I love them.
Yeah, try and toss them over the glass.
They want to be on the ice.
Yeah, this Saturday, they've never watched a hockey game before their entire life. They just wanted me to be happy, and this is me being happy.
They love the cold.
So, Saturday night, we got Buffalo, we got New England. You want to hear the weather report? You ready for it?
Tell me the weather report.
I'm standing in front of a green screen right now. I'm pointing things. We have a cold front coming from the Arctic Circle, traveling right down through Buffalo. It's supposed to be a high of 11 degrees Saturday.
Shirt up.
A high of 11 degrees. Nighttime, when the sun falls, it's supposed to drop down to 3 degrees. The good news, though, no precipitation, and the wind's only going to be 11 miles per hour that day. So it won't be like that blizzard they played in earlier in the year where, you know, Mac Jones threw 3 passes and they won that game. This should be a game where, like, both teams could, like, hypothetically throw the football, but it is going to be complicated by a little bit of wind and, of course, you know, the cold fingers and everything else.
Matt, are you scared?
No, this is why you draft Josh Allen.
No, sir. This is the game on which you do not want to have happen with the weather.
Yeah, you, it is.
No, it's not.
This is why you draft. This was always the argument for drafting Josh Allen, is that if you play outside and you play in the cold, you have to have a quarterback with a strong arm that can fight. That can throw the ball through
he's
the wind and cold.
Throw the ball downfield with the weather.
Yeah, he can.
I'm saying they're not going to. And if they do, New England's defense is too good. Matt, this is what New England wants. This is playing into their hand. This is what I told you before this started.
This isn't the Blizzard Bowl, though. They're going to be able to throw. And also, the thing about Buffalo, too, Taylor, is they're one of the best quick, short-passing offenses in football. Uh-huh. They're incredible at it.
Yeah, it's the only thing Mac Jones does, though.
No, but Mac Jones is going against the best pass defense in football. He's going to – last time these two teams played,
What's Josh Allen going up against?
He was 14, like a top 10.
Top 10?
Yeah, the Patriots are like the 10th best pass defense this year.
They've been playing like top 5 defense.
I'm saying pass defense.
Overall defense?
Overall, like 5th, 6th.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about pass defense. Mac Jones, last time these two teams played, 14 of 32, 145 yards, two interceptions, you know? And also, he doesn't have the arm to be able to throw through the wind like this.
I agree. I don't think Mac Jones is going to be able to do anything. And I think that if Allen is there, I'll put it this way. Allen puts up 28 points, game's over.
For sure. If he scores 3 points, the game's probably over.
If he scores 20, I think, yeah. I just think that Mac's going to score about 16 to 18 points, and that's it.
Well, I think Damian Harris is going to score 16 to 18 points.
I was going to say, I think Damian Harris is going to have 2 TDs all by himself.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But okay, you agree with that. So now you're betting on, though, Allen being able to perform against this defense.
Yeah.
If that's the case, but Matt, that weather report bothers me. I'm sorry, but I can't.
It's because you have the blizzard in your brain.
I don't have the blizzard in my
brain. You have the blizzard in your brain. I'm telling you, the blizzard's in your brain.
It's like
this is going to be really cold.
It's nipping.
Yeah, it's going to be really cold. There's going to be a little bit of wind, but it's not going to be 40 miles per hour where you can't throw the ball at all whatsoever.
And I agree with you on that, and that's what you would have to hope for, because if Allen at least gets one big play, I think that's going to put the pressure on Mac Jones, where then it's going to force him to try to make a big play to match, where then he's going to end up turning the ball over because he can't throw more than 20 yards down the field. And New England's going to have to take
shot. Well, I think like Jones can in like better weather circumstances against a lesser opponent. You know, he's made some good throws downfield this year.
They don't trust him at all. Like, they really don't.
I think it depends on the opponent, but, like, yeah, against Buffalo, it's a little bit different. And also, like, in weather like this, like, this is, like, again, the point I was trying to make earlier, though, is that whenever Buffalo drafted Allen, it was like they, because of where they play and the weather they have, you have to have a quarterback with an insane arm. Like, you have to take a risk on a guy like that. You can't have a little pea shooter as your quarterback in that environment.
That's why they drafted E.J. Manuel.
Yeah, I guess so. I can't remember if E.J. Manuel had a good arm or not, but
no, that's
Jesus,
what it was.
He was terrible.
That's what they said it was. It's because he was able to throw through the wind.
Would you rather have E.J. Manuel or Christian Ponder as your quarterback?
Christian Ponder.
Yeah, I guess so.
I would take Christian Ponder.
One of the worst Texans losses of all time was in 12 whenever they were trying to clinch a one seed, and they lost to Christian Ponder, and then they lost to the Colts.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that happened. So back to this game, though. Like, yeah, I think the concern, though, for Buffalo is just the rush attack that the Patriots have. They have a great rush attack, a great power run attack. They've had problems with Damian Harris all season long in both their matchups. And I think a lot of the problems that the Bills have is that they play a lot of nickel. And, like, you play nickel against a power run team and you don't change it up, you're going to get beat, you know. Their linebacker play, like, Tremaine Edmonds has been very good this year. A lot of his tackles, he's may have been, like, 6 yards past the line of scrimmage. Their safety have missed tackles as their last line defense, as we saw, like, with the Harris run, with the big run Derrick Henry had as well, too. And then also, like, whenever you fill the box up, if you just get hats on hats, like, you have rush lanes, you have no buy the second, third level to be able to make tackles, too. So, like, me as a Bills fan, what concerns me is the Patriots breaking, you know, a really long run, and then all of a sudden it's 10-0, and then now your butt's kind of clenched up, and the wind's, it's getting colder, and it's darker, and everything else that goes along with that.
You know what, though? What I think has really actually helped Buffalo these past few games, and I think I mentioned it to you before, I don't know if on the podcast, but it's the fact that Josh Allen got a little bit banged up. And it's because, for me, what I always made fun of you on the years past about how Josh Allen was always looking to run before throwing, I felt like this year, the coaching staff and the offense was really trying to, like, go around that, where I'm not saying it was Allen. I'm saying that the play calling was centered around of a lot of QB sneaks.
Yeah, yeah.
Towards the end of the season, you could tell he's banged up, where it wasn't the same, where what I think has helped is now having Singletary be that back, where it's taking the pressure off of Allen, where now the team can't just focus on Allen, where now they actually have a running back to be able to look at, and it will then open up Allen to be able to hit Diggs downfield, because Diggs this season has just been so overall.
Well, and they don't even, like, need Diggs downfield. They need Diggs, and they need Beasley to just, like, create first downs, you know? Like, they have McKenzie, they have Davis for, and they also have Sanders from where their downfield shots, too. But, like, also, like, you know, it's surprising, too, just, like, looking at the numbers the last 4 weeks of the season. Allen has 232 rushing yards, so he's had some really big games running. But I think, like, going back to what you're saying, they're not using, like, him as a runner as much, like, running quarterback power, running counter. But they've been running a lot more bootlegs with him and getting out in space, because they have had some problems with the blitz, though. You know, Carolina had a good game against him. You know, the Patriots had a pretty good game against them just by using blitzes to be able to kind of keep in the pocket and forcing completions and trying to, like, get him to make mistakes. But that's one of the things that he's been doing, is that instead of, like, trying to break seven tackles and play hero ball, he's just been kind of throwing in completions against the blitz, you know, whenever nobody's open, instead of trying to make, like, that really big play. And so, like, that's the other kind of concern about, like, New England, is that they can probably blitz him well. And if they blitz well, they're able to play some man coverage with their good secondary like they have, you know, they force him to a mistake or two. I think it's the kind of the other thing that goes along with it as well. Like, the Bills' run offense has been, you know, kind of bad at times, but if Allen's really, like, rocking as a runner, you know, I think he just kind of creates the rest of the run game, too, and it's going to be kind of, like, all out in this weekend, too.
No, I agree. And what I mean is, like, even to your point of that Allen has had more yards, but even what I was talking about with Singletary.
Yeah, he had that 100-plus yard game and things like that.
Well, he's also had, like, even in the teens when it comes to the carries versus at the beginning of the season where Allen was their lead rusher.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's not what you want to have happen with your quarterback, especially where, even for my opinion, when I can admit, Allen has gotten so much better with throwing the ball, which is why I don't need to see so many freaking QB sneaks when you have the backs that are able to carry that, which even against the last game that they played against with New England, I just feel like even with the 12 carries that Allen and Singletary are splitting, Singletary was still the one to get the touchdown because it's still throwing New England off, I feel.
Yeah. Well, and, like, you know, you mentioned the New England game, too. Since they fell 500 and lost overtime to Tampa Bay, They went 4-0. They beat Carolina, the Jets, Atlanta, and New England. And they also won all those games by 2+ scores as well. You know, and it's the best pass defense in football by DVOA. They have a deep pass rush. Again, like, they've had some problems like against big runs, especially against power run heavy teams like this, but their run defense isn't terrible necessarily. And like, Allen's played at MVP level, you know, from that Tampa Bay game on to, aside from like that one kind of hiccup he had against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, for this game, like, the weather doesn't concern me as much as the run game does. New England's blitz game. If, you know, Allen goes full Josh Allen and has a bad turnover or two, that's what concerns me more than like the weather or like what the Patriots offense can do. So for my pick, I'm going Buffalo 27, New England 13.
This one's a tough one for me. This one really is. But like I said, I think that Singletary is now their guy. He's what I'm relying on. The weather does bother me. It really did. This playing in New England's hands. But I think Allen's going to score 28 points, and I think New England's going to score 18.
All right. The other thing concerns me, too, you know, being a Bills fan, is McDermott kicking field goals, because he did the same crap against Tampa. And then also, they've had a lot of problems with their kick returners fumbling kicks. And so, yeah. Like, you know, you have to play a perfect game in the playoffs, and the Bills just have, like, you know, because their coaching staff and their special teams, they've had some problems doing that this year, too.
It's been disappointing this season for me, Matt, and it's because going into it, I was big on this team, and I've given you so much hate, but you and I both predicted this team to be able to go to the Super Bowl, I believe, didn't I?
I picked Buffalo, Tampa. I picked Buffalo, somebody else.
Actually, I thought I'd pick Kansas City, because I said until somebody proves me otherwise, I'm picking them. So I'm going to still stick, but I picked Buffalo to easily make the AFC Championship, which is what I'm continuing with, because this should be one of those tests where you're the better team. This is the beatdown.
Well, they would play Kansas City next round, probably.
Exactly, which is the real getting over a big brother type feel.
Well, they beat them earlier this year, though.
I know, but this is the actual.
They slaughtered them.
This is when it matters.
That's fine. That's fine. They slaughtered him earlier this year.
You still got to get by little sister here.
They beat little sister, though.
She's tough.
They're 3-1 against the Patriots the last 2 years.
Doesn't matter.
So Sunday, 12 o'clock, we have Eagles, Buccaneers. Do you remember these teams used to play in the postseason, like the 2000s? It was kind of fun.
They played
that one NFC Championship game the year the Bucs won it all.
Who's the bald guy that T.O. said was gay?
Steve Garcia.
That's who it was. Yes. I always remember that type of atmosphere where it was those guys going against each other. McNabb and the quarterback, too. That was the fun time. Yeah, I remember.
Remember they lost three NFC Championship games in a row, and they beat Atlanta and Michael Vick, and they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
And you know what? That's okay. And that nobody's going to blame me for doing those things. I'm excited for this one. This one, and you.
It's an interesting game.
Because this is the game where I'm like, I agree with the extra playoff seed because.
No. Uh-uh.
I know. And see, this is where we go back to it. Because, Matt, this is the type of game I do want to watch. I do want to see this.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, this game, like, I think should be fun.
Wouldn't be in it without the extra.
But, yeah, I'd rather have it not be here than it be here at all. You know? I'm not dreading it. It's not like watching New Orleans, Chicago last year, but it's still stupid. It should exist. So at one point this year, the Eagles were 2-5. And then they kind of realized that, hey, Jalen Hurts is a really good runner. We have a good offensive line here. Miles Sanders is a good running back. And they start running the football. Since they were 2-5, they start averaging 184 rushing yards a game. Jalen Hurts led the team with rushing with 784. Then Sanders with 754. Jordan Howard, 406. Bart Scott, 373. Gainwell, 291. Their offensive line of Mulata, Dickerson, Kelsey, Herbig, and Johnson has been really great this year, too. And they've just been chewing teams up with their offensive line and run game, kind of similar to how, like, the Eagles have, you know, typically played. It was just an issue with the play calling where, you know, they were trying to be more like a shotgun spread, like just scramble whenever nothing's open, Jalen Hurts, instead of actually committing to their run with both their quarterback and their backs, and more like, I guess, like, I wouldn't even say conventional, but just more handoff design runs.
Man, I don't have anything to add because I feel like that the Philadelphia Eagles listen to our show as well as the other 1 million, 2 million listeners. And it's because we talked about why aren't they running. We talked about how their backs would get 12 yards after one carry, and then they wouldn't get any more carries. It was the weirdest thing anyone ever watched because Philadelphia, regardless of how decent Jalen Hurts was playing, you were asking him to do everything, which was don't go three and out, don't go three and out, because they weren't going to waste time on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
It was dumb, but to your point, they finally realized their faults, and then they turned into an actual football team running an actual offense, where then they turn into something where it's now interesting because the team has gotten better over time. The offense with Jalen Hurts, it's scary. It is a little bit terrifying as a Cowboys fan. The Bucs, though, I think are just a bad opponent for them, which is what we go back to the very beginning of. It's all about matchups.
Yeah. Well, and so, like, the Eagles, too, I'm looking at NFL's next-gen stats, and one of their stats says
you love
average,
that.
Average, you know, time to throw. I hear Jalen Hurts has the highest time to throw in the NFL with 8 seconds. I'm looking at it right here. It says 8 seconds it takes him to throw the football. And it's like, I'm joking. I think it's like 4.7 or whatever it is. But he still has like one of the highest. You're just agreeing to it. It's still one of the highest ones in the league, though. And like, if the Eagles can, you know, pass protect long enough to allow Hurts to make plays and be able to, you know, slowly like read through the defense and find open throws, and, you know, their run game is able to get like 150, 175 yards, like this game could be like closer. You know, maybe the Eagles could pull the spoiler off here for it. But there's two concerns. One is that Shaq Barrett's coming back, as well as Jason Pierre-Paul.
I was going to say, isn't everybody coming back, Matt? Yeah.
And Leonard Fournette's coming back this weekend, too. So they're healthy on their defensive front. But the Buccaneers' run defense has been very average this year. Both if you look at yards per carry or DVOA, it's been average, just kind of surprising. I think a lot of that, though, also is just because, like, they're up big, you know what I mean? And, like, teams run the ball, and they're playing a lot of light boxes, and you just kind of let them get 6 yards, and who cares because you're up by, you know, 21 points or so. But, like, I think it's going to be fascinating, though, to watch this run-heavy offense against one of the best front sevens in football that's fully healthy, and then also watching this fearsome pass rush that, you know, devoured teams last year going up against the quarterback that has to hold onto the ball for, you know, 5-6 seconds or so.
Boom. And you just answered why I said this is a bad matchup. I just don't think that with Tampa having all of their players coming back now, healthy, where this defense, especially last year, was all about blitzing, was all about pushing everything towards the quarterback where the quarterback can't breathe or make a move.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts needs all the time in the world to be able to make something happen.
Yep.
Where unless their running backs can be able to break off something, that's why I think this is going to be an annihilation, because Jalen Hurts is not going to be ready for this game.
And I don't think ready for this game.
I don't think their coaching staff is going to be ready, especially with this healthy defense. I truly expect three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. I just think this Bucs defense is just going to demolish them. I have a feeling that it's going to be boom, boom, boom after Jalen every single time, where he's not going to be able to have any type of 8 second drawbacks, 7 second plays. He's going to have to make a decision, and it's going to have to be quick.
Yeah, that's I think that's the biggest concern. I think they're going to be able to run the ball some. You know, the Jets are able to run the ball against them fairly well in that close game they played. And so I think there's a chance for them to be able to run the football. But, yeah, like, I think it really kind of comes down to, like, how sharp is Hurts, you know? Like, and also, like, how athletic is he? Like, can he break tackles consistently? Can he get away from Barrett? Can he get away from Vea and Golston and Pierre-Paul? How does he react to this heavy blitz defense, too? And so, like, I don't know. I like this game more than I thought I would. The line here, too, is pretty high. The line is Buccaneers by 8.5 as well at home. And, like, you know, the Buccaneers offensively, like we mentioned, Fournette's back. The Eagles are all about their defensive line. Like, that's what their whole defense is built upon. They don't have good linebacker play. Their secondary play is, you know, whatever. I know Slay's been better this year than he was last season. But the Bucs still have the best offensive line in the NFL. You know, they have a great power run attack. They have great pass protection. And I think it's just going to be hard, too, for the Eagles to be able to get any sort of consistent pass rush on Tom Brady, this kind of quick passing offense.
All right, so I hate to be this type of guy, but Matt, do you think Antonio Brown's nonsense gave Tom Brady motivation?
Gave him motivation?
Because
I don't think he needs any extra motivation.
On that, Antonio threw his name out there as if, how is Tom Brady my boy? Meaning, Tom Brady was never looking after him.
Yeah.
He has a bad taste once again in people's mouths. Meaning, Tom Brady's got to scrub it out with soap. So what's going to happen is that I think Tom Brady is going to have that momentum where I believe Mike Evans coming back and Godwin out.
Godwin, yeah, he's out for the year.
So who's the little man? Who am I thinking of?
I know who you're talking about. I think he's out too, though.
What?
Scotty Phillips? Scotty Miller?
Scotty Miller, is he out?
Yeah, I think he's out.
What? So it's pretty much, all right. So
it's Evans, it's Gronk, but they have Rashad Perriman back. Tyler Johnson's a big wide receiver. And they have Cameron Brate as well, too. No, Scotty Miller's there. Yeah,
okay.
My bad.
Okay, okay. Hey, all right, that makes me feel a lot better. I was like, man, he's got no, like, middle of the field here. He's got no, like, little quick person going around. Okay.
And Sky Miller's funny because, like, he's a better deep threat probably than as a short wide receiver, like a short threat guy.
Well, it's because
he just sneaks back there.
Incredible catches, too.
He's like Solid Snake inside of the cardboard box running around. And then also he's 30 yards downfield.
But Tom Brady needs a guy like that where you need, obviously, you already have your distraction and Mike Evans is the big guy. You already have your running back in Fournette. You have the best offensive line. You just needed that quick guy. Miller's back. They're fine. Perryman's there. Fine. Gronk's there. Fine. I think that they're going to be just good enough where Tom Brady's just – I'm thinking four TDs. I'm thinking maybe 280.
I think the only thing that gives credence to what you're saying about the Brown thing was, did you see that Brady stayed in their blowout against the Panthers to make sure that Gronkowski got the yards he needed to get his bonus?
Yep.
And also think about a Brown saying that too. It's like, you don't have a job if it wasn't for Tom Brady.
Man, he gave you a job and he let you stay in his house.
Yeah.
Man, he let you stay in his home and you said he does not look after me. What?
The Joker rides again.
The Joker needs to go back to Arkham.
Yeah, he does. I guess Arkham is Kanye West's house. Did you see that the other day?
What?
I guess there was some video. It was Kanye West, AJ Brown, Julia Fox, Madonna, and like a few other people listening to Kanye West's new music. That's Arkham Asylum, is Kanye West's house.
Yeah, that's where you're never making it. It turns in. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so Arkham and Kanye's house looks like Squid Game.
No, that means, but
well, you should know it. Good. This is your problem. You like depressing things. Watch Squid Games.
Oh no, I don't understand it.
You will.
I don't like anime, so I don't think I like it.
It's not anime, so
it looks like anime.
Doesn't matter. It's not anime, and it's the that's why you won't watch it, because it's the most watched Netflix show of all time. It's popular. You'll hate it.
It's too popular for me. I'll watch it in like 6 years.
Yeah, I'm thinking 10.
Man, maybe that. I gotta watch True Detective season 1 again soon, and I got Better Call Saul's coming back. You know.
By the way, Squid Games is like a True Detective though.
I don't know.
That's why you need to watch it, because it's your type of messed up nonsense.
We'll see. We'll see. So the line here is 8.5. The line here is 8.5 for the Bucks at home. I'm going to go Philly to cover. I'm going to go Tampa 30-23. And I just mean, like, I think Tampa is probably going to go up pretty big. And then, but Hurts is going to play the entire game. And he's going to work hard. And he's going to run over the field. And I think he's going to wear out Tampa too, but throughout the game, especially the offense goes up, you're pretty big in it. So I think it's going to be one of those games like Tampa, like, wins and they're up pretty big, but the game looks closer than it ended up being. So again, I'm going Tampa 30, Philly 23.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, that's a big point spread here. But like I said, I just think this is something that Jalen's not going to be expecting, nor the coaching staff. I think this is going to be a pretty big demolition. So I'm going to have the Tampa 38. I'm going to have the Philadelphia Eagles. To your point, though, I think they'll be coming back a little bit, but they'll be 28. So okay. I still think that Tampa's going to cover there.
Sounds good. It's a demolition derby.
That's what exactly. I think there's going to be a lot of car wrecks.
You want to hear one of the funniest things, or one of the most beautiful things I ever saw?
What do you got?
I was at the California State Fair probably like 6 years ago or 7 years ago, whatever it ends up being now. Uh-huh. And we went to the Demolition Derby for it.
Ooh. And
so, yeah. So there was a car whose number was 911, like 911. And whatever, and he like drove around the the track or whatever, before the national anthem played, and then he got out and had an American flag and stood on top of his car and was waving the American flag, and then like while it was going on, like we were cheering for him, you know, we're all excited for the 911 car, and we're cheering for him, and then like towards the end of the race, it was like him and somebody else like going at it, and we got a 911 chant going on in the crowd, sort of like 911. 9-11, and everybody's chanting 9-11 at the California State Fair. And he ended up winning, too. It was beautiful. One of the great moments of my life.
All right, so cheering for 9-11. For some reason, I think there's a lot of going to hell type of mojo going on.
We're
there.
Cheering for the car. The car.
You're
9-11.
Cheering 9-11.
Yeah, that's the audible words we're saying.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that out. I don't know.
This was, and we were sober, too. There was no alcohol involved. This was just energy, you know? This is force field.
You know what? That makes it worse.
I guess so. But it was a fun thing. So the next game, the Sunday 3:30, get ready to get slime, Taylor. It's Niners-Cowboys. The Cowboys are 3-point favorites at home. So are you afraid yet of that sex kid in Jimmy Garoppolo?
Is Carson Daly going to be doing this game as the host? That'd be amazing.
The MTV news game.
Oh, my Lord. I think he became like the host of Slime Time, right?
I don't know what he's doing. I know he was doing the late night show on NBC.
All right. So, I want to be scared. I really do. But this is my issue right now. And that's... it's probably going to go in the Arizona game way, and I don't want it to, but I just think that that's what it would go to if it's ever going to blow up in my face. And it's because the Dallas Cowboys should truly beat the 49ers, where the moment that the Cowboys come out of the gate, they should be able to score, making Jimmy G having to come back.
Okay.
Where putting the pressure on Jimmy to have to score the touchdowns, instead of them being able to waste clock and run the ball with E.J. Miller, Deebo Samuel the entire time. It's impressive, but I think it can be beaten as long as you can put up points. Dallas should be the team that can put up points to where 49ers can't run their offense.
Yeah, well, I think one of the problems with the Niners offense is like, you know, it's really horizontal. It's really like bootleg, you know, crossing route, yards after the catch, you know, jet sweep. You know, it's not very vertical
Deebo
at all.
Robust.
Well, it's also not very vertical either, you know? And, like, what do the Cowboys have? They got freaks, you know?
Freaks.
They got freaks. They have a lot of speed on defense. They have a lot of freaks. I don't think this is a team that they really need to be worried about. Like this, I mean, not necessarily being worried about, but, like, this is a team that can be able to, like, run and chase and deal with all the horizontal, like, whiplash that the 49ers like to use, you know? And, like, I think this is the game, too, where Micah Parsons plays middle linebacker. And you just go, just chase the ball. Just follow the ball around, you know.
And he came back, I think, even today, as far as from COVID protocol. So, yes.
Nobody's going to have COVID in the postseason either.
Nobody will. It's going to magically disappear after a day or two.
Yeah.
But I completely agree where Mike should just be following anybody that's going to be touching, especially if it's Deebo or especially if it's EJ. I just think that Micah being able to now be in the lineup, be in the middle, going into the playoffs, this is where I'm gonna hope that you're still going to see the special jump off the screen. Because, again, Matt, after watching this with the 49ers, I just think this is a team where my defense is able to play well, where no matter even if my offense plays crap, which I am believing they are, I think that my defense is still going to be able to put them in the game with this type of team that they're going up against. All I need is a turnover or two. I just need Jimmy to throw the ball. If I can get a pick or two, I'm solid. I just need Jimmy to throw it.
Yeah. Well, and like the Niners, you can get some pass rush a little bit off the right-hand side of their offensive line. They're one of those teams that's just hard to, you know, rush the passer just because of, you know, all the play action, all the misdirection that goes along with their team in general. But like I think it comes down to like forcing longer third downs, forcing Garoppolo to have to win from the shotgun and win from like 3-4 wide receiver sets. And then the other thing too, like the Cowboys do have good edge defenders as well. And so like they should be able to box runs in somewhat, be able to force things back towards the middle with Gregory and everybody else that they have out there too. And so I think this also that kind of plays in line with what, and they have a fast secondary, like Curse is a lot of fun to watch. You know, Hooker's been a good deep middle player. Their cornerbacks have some problems tackling, but again, they have speed at that position.
Well, exactly. And especially even where you have so many, where you have Vander Esch, who's been whatever, but even though last game he was decent, you still have DeMarcus Lawrence, who all of a sudden looks like that he's worth at least half of his contract. So you are having guys being able to step up, and I think it's because of the momentum. You know what my problem, though, is? And this is where my father and I go back and forth, which is what I told you
about. Y'all been saying all year, their first-round playoff loss team.
Stop it. I'm not believing that yet. But what my point was is Diggs. Matt, Diggs' stats, he is probably the worst defender on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I've read something he gave up 1,000 yards receiving this year.
Yes. And
he's just a wide receiver.
And that's where I told you
Cowboys move Diggs to wide receiver next year.
No, they shouldn't. And it's because I'll put it to this way. When Gallup is out now and you see how Wilson is playing,
Wilson's good.
Wilson and Dak have such a great chemistry.
And Wilson can catch the football.
And he's tiny too. And I mean, he's made some incredible catches. I just think him and Dak have such a great chemistry when it comes to it, which is why I'm not mad if the offense blows up. Oh my, if Zeke doesn't run the ball well, I just need something that's going to be able to make me feel good about myself. And I don't think
you picked the wrong thing to care about to feel good about yourself.
Hey, this offense needs to give me something, and I don't think they're going to, okay?
Yeah, well, the other thing about, so like San Francisco is one of the best teams at creating explosive plays, and Dallas has problems stopping them. But like a lot of their explosive plays, though, again, are yards after the catch. It's a crossing route where they break a tackle and take off for, more after that. And I really think kind of the key for Dallas's defense, aside from the other things we mentioned, is just like their cornerbacks tackling pretty well. You know what I mean? Like limiting 5-yard catches to 7 yards or 8 yards, not turning 5 yards into 30 yards and things like that to allow Garoppolo to play like a very simplistic offense.
I really, truly hope, though, that this is not a close game. If it's a close game, I'm probably going to be panicking, especially like what I've talked about earlier, where if Mike McCarthy is having to make decisions, and if he is having to actually make calls where it comes to challenges or having to be clock management style with the timeouts, man, I may be screwed.
I still can't believe he's the head coach there.
Well, that's actually what I'm going to ask you here. Matt, if Dallas loses, is he fired?
I think so.
He's fired. Yeah. I completely agree. Where I would never normally say that, but with this team, and especially
because they would just make Kellen Moore the head coach.
That's boom! Oh my god! Okay, I love you. I told my father this the other day. Where I go, it's gonna happen. There, it's where Jerry's just now waiting.
Because he's also like Moore's interviewing right now, and Jerry loves him. He's afraid he's gonna lose him.
Oh my god, this exactly
just become Jason Garrett 2.0.
If McCarthy loses, he is fired. Moore's the head coach. We're on the same page.
This game is interesting because we also have Shanahan, as the offensive coach going up against Dan Quinn. And as you remember, Shanahan was the OC for Dan Quinn when they blew that 28-3 lead. And now they're going to be going up against each other in this weekend's game.
Man, I need Quinn to just keep going right now because he's going to be hired next year as a head coach. So
the New York Giants?
He's going to be hired by somebody, and he deserves it.
I don't think so.
He does, Matt. I'll put it to you.
I don't think he's going to get hired this year.
He's going to be – oh, wait. You don't think he's going to be hired? I disagree with that. As far as him being a great coach overall, if you don't think he's going to be, I'm not – I want to disagree with you because I think he's a great
coach. I think he lost his mind after they lost that game.
No.
I read an article where they went to training camp and he had a clock on the wall that instead of numbers, it just said now. He's like, we don't care about the past. We only care about right now. Last year didn't happen. We only care about now. I think he lost his mind.
I think he is so much better as a defensive coordinator where he shouldn't be a head coach, but I think that somebody's going to offer him to be.
Yeah, I think he's a year away from it. But he's done a good job there this year. Like, he's been done a great job getting the freaks and spots to make plays. Who do you think has the better quarterback in this game? Do you think Dak's better than the sex kitten?
I don't want to talk about Dak. I've been trying to avoid the subject.
Who's better?
Because Dak is. And if Dak realizes in the back of his mind that, yes, whenever I have the open field and I'm able to run, then I can take that. He needs to not be afraid to be able to just move. I think when Dak second-guesses himself is when he's making the mistakes. But if he's just in the rhythm, he's perfect, especially passing, especially when it's taking up. Whenever he's doing his quick decision-making, because he can do this, then he's perfect. It's when he second-guesses things is when all of a sudden things turn to crap.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Whenever he starts double-clutching passes.
Yes.
That's when you run into problems. Yeah, none of that.
It's this. The two pumps going down and the ball is still not out. You know that odds are in the next 30 seconds, it's a turnover.
Yeah. And the last thing to touch on is Dallas' offensive line is good at pass protecting. They're going up against probably the best front four pass rush in the NFL. And Eric Armstead has discovered how to play football again, which is very exciting for the 49ers. You know, he's had some great games recently. And there's Bosa, of course, and Arden Key and DJ Jones. And Tyron Smith is back at left tackle. The Cowboys have pass protected well. And they also run a pretty quick passing offense. And San Francisco plays that cover four, cover seven defense. And so I think, you know, it's a defense you can scheme against pretty easily if you're able to pass protect for, you know, 3.5 seconds. And I think Dallas has the offensive line to do so as well. So I'm going to go Cowboys. I'm going to go Dallas 31, San Francisco 16.
Wow, you got a slaughter over there. I don't have that.
It's called I've watched Jimmy Garoppolo play football for, you know, the last 3 years.
Isn't the point spread only 3?
It's 3 points, Dallas.
Yeah, I'm taking Dallas 31, 49ers 27. I don't want this game by any means. I just think it's going to break my heart in the end.
No, I think next week will break your heart.
No, because if I win this game, I think I win next week.
You'll play Tampa next week.
Yeah.
And you'll lose like 31-28. And Brady will have a game-winning drive.
Nope. Sorry. You want to know why? Because you already did that to us.
Yeah, it's going to happen again.
Again. Now you do it again. This time, Dak is going to get the ball last. Dak is going to have the shot for it. Dak is going to have to make the play.
So the Sunday night game, we have Pittsburgh, Kansas City. The Chiefs are 12.5-point favorites. Did you hear Big Ben said that we have no chance to win this game? We're just going to go out and have fun.
I don't want to talk about this game now.
All right. Well, I have one big point, one big idea.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did. It's very funny. He's a goofball, you know?
Well, he's a goofball.
So I have an idea, you know? Have you ever heard of the Illuminati humiliation ritual?
No.
So it's like LeBron James's decision, that was a humiliation ritual. Like, he knew he was going to take a lot of flack for it, but he sold his soul to do it. Jay-Z cheating on Beyonce, humiliation ritual. Taylor Swift and Kanye West, that was the Taylor Swift humiliation ritual. So like, you have to be humiliated like this to, like, lose your ego to be able to join, you know, the new world order, that sort of thing. So Jackson Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes' little brother and his TikTok dancing, that's a Illuminati humiliation ritual.
Matt.
There's no, like, why else would he let him do it? It's because he has to let him do it so he can sell his soul to win 5 Super Bowls and make, you know, $3 billion.
Matt, what the hell?
It's a good idea.
Okay. Here's the thing on why I hate to agree with you. I don't know why he's allowing him to keep doing this crap.
I would not invite him to the game anymore.
Well, and that's where my issue comes from.
Or I would not let him on the field anymore. Said, you see the club suite with Papa? Go up there. You're not coming on the field anymore.
It's also, Matt, what are you doing him any favors by making him act that way? Where, what is he going to come as a reply? Listen, man, my followers need to see me. Okay, they need to see where I'm at. Why can't I go to the game? I mean, is that what he's saying to you? And you're like, you're right. You're right, man. I need to make sure you're there for those people. Like, Patrick, slap his ass across the face, back of the head. Do something. Be a big brother. Beat the living crap out of him.
You can't because it's an Illuminati humiliation ritual.
You know what? That video of him.
They're all awful.
They're all awful, which makes you kind of believe that maybe Patrick is either that way or he's the complete
opposite. No, he's not like that at all.
No. It's the complete opposite. So that's where he's just so not like that whatsoever that he wants somebody to be that way in his life.
No, I think he just loves his younger brother and he's like, fine.
Man, if that was your younger brother, you'd beat him.
Yeah, I wouldn't let this happen.
Exactly my point. If you were a star and you had a younger brother that acted like that, you would hit him.
Even if I wasn't a star. If I was like, if I had a younger brother and I went anywhere with him, he acts like that, I wouldn't hang out with him anymore. I said, you have to stop doing this.
Yeah, but what if he has like 10 million followers?
Even better. No. I'd rather him be an alcoholic than be, you know, dance in the middle of a Macy's like that.
I will say, though, why? Just what is with the dancing?
No, I don't get it. I know I'm going to get you for your birthday this year, though.
What is it?
Don't worry about it.
I don't want it.
You're going to love it.
I don't want it anymore.
But this game had to be the night game because of Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs are 12.5-point favorites. I'm going to go Kansas City 34, Pittsburgh 17.
I really don't like this game. I'm going Kansas City 50. I'm going Pittsburgh Steelers 30.
Are you going to watch this game?
No.
I'm going to watch this game.
I'm not going to watch this game. And that's what I don't get. I don't get why this is my Sunday game. Instead, I'm just going to watch anime.
I mean, I should boycott it.
That's what I'm doing. I'm watching anime instead. I don't want to do this. Like, this should not be my late game. You should give me my Cowboys as my late game.
This should be the 12 o'clock game on Saturday.
Yes, Matt. How does the 49ers versus the Cowboys, who already has that rivalry in the past, not have the late game?
It's because of Patrick Mahomes.
It does it. How does it bring
I'm telling you, because everything's about Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not going to let this one go.
Everything's about him. I'm tired of it. I've had enough of it. So the last game we have here, Monday Night Football, because four games isn't enough. Saturday, Sunday is enough. We have to have Monday as well. Monday Night Football, we have Arizona, Los Angeles. The Rams are 4-point favorites. The Cardinals are kind of like in a bad spot right now because ever since DeAndre Hopkins got hurt, their passing offense has fallen apart because he's no longer being bracketed. And so their little wide receivers and A.J. Green no longer consistently get, you know, single-man coverage that they were able to use to create like a really great passing offense out of. And they've just been a funk since they lost him.
Exactly. And even when it comes to them playing against the Cowboys and the Cowboys losing to them, it's more like that was the Cowboys blowing it. Because overall, they just haven't looked like a good team. Not near as dominant as they were at the beginning of the season, because now that DeAndre Hopkins isn't needing to be double coverage, you now have two guys on the field, or an extra guy on the field if you're the defense, that can do whatever the hell you want to do with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and like their offense was actually like well executed with Hopkins, and I think, you know, Cliff Kingsbury made a lot of really great schematic decisions to run like an efficient passing attack instead of it just being, you know, quick out routes to Hopkins and, you know, scrambles by Kyler Murray. And, you know, since they went through that part of the season without him, he tore his MCL, they really haven't been the same. This week, and they also had a lot of problems stopping the run recently too, but the Cardinals do have their offensive line healthy. Also, J.J. Watt's coming back this weekend. Are you ready, Taylor?
Well, and I am ready because the other side of it is, the Rams haven't been too confident either. So,
no, this is like the game that everybody had been so excited for 10 weeks ago. And now it's here. It's like, I don't know what to do with this.
You don't know it, but either one can win because it seems like that they're both kind of having the same issues, except Matthew Stafford seems to just have a little bit of the picking going on because he can't stop throwing some INTs. And this is where the money's on the line, where the Rams have given everything.
Mm-hmm.
Thing.
Everything all the time.
All the time. This
the
is,
Von Miller trade was terrible.
Well, now that you know that he can't play whatsoever, the Denver Broncos easily won that trade. That's the best thing they've ever done in their lives.
Yeah. Like, I watched Von Miller before the trim, like, he just runs a lot to run himself into pressure, and they have a great secondary that's able to cover for, like, 5 seconds, that sort of thing. And it's like, I wouldn't trade Miller just because of the idea of it, but if you're giving me that, it's like, yeah, we're doing it.
Well, and the only thing when it comes to the Rams is not even their defense, which, to your point, Matt, their defense should be dominant. Why is it not dominant? Is it just because of the Vaughn? I mean, you have Donald, where then you have Ramsey. Why is it that the Rams were not able to close last week, for example?
Well, I think it's just a lot of it's just because it's based on depth also. Like, it's next man up, so they have a lot of, like, fourth, fifth, sixth undrafted free agents to build the rest of their defense because it's built around, you know, Donald and Ramsey being, you know, incredible. Also, they had a safety injury to Taylor Rapp, and so Eric Weddle is gonna may start safety for the Rams this weekend too.
That's gonna be.
I think he's 37 years old.
I'm gonna say, how many times are they gonna be? But who is he gonna throw the ball deep to? Is it just gonna be a Christian Kirk?
Yeah.
And hopefully he doesn't overthrow them.
And Green's been better than he's been a lot better than I thought he was gonna be this year.
Well, let's.
He still has some gas.
Let's not try to beat around the bush. It's Murray that seems like he's been off with his throwing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He gets hung over at times.
Exactly. Where, how you can always tell where he's hung over. This is the classic on why I hate Murray at the same time. Matt, you know what I hate more than life? Is whenever I see him doing the limp back to the bench.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the classic, like the heads down. And
the head down is a big one.
And it's the
limp.
He's
a big head down guy.
Yeah, where it's just like, and it's like a waddle type thing that's going on back to the bench. Oh, it just pisses me off. I'm like, you're okay. Cut the crap. Because then he's running around the next play like nothing happened. And then he's doing the same thing again. Oh my God, I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I really, the Rams run offense hasn't been good. Like, Sony Michel's not good.
Connor's been okay.
No, I'm not saying the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals have had some problems running the football, but their offensive line's back to health again.
What did they give up for Michel?
I feel like a third or fourth round pick. He sucks, though.
He sucks.
Yeah, and he's going to get 20 carries for 70 yards. I don't know why they hate Daryl Henderson so much. I know he's been hurt, but like, he's the best running back they have, and they never want to play him.
And he must have done something, either or he can't memorize the playbook for Sean McVay, and that's what Sean McVay wants.
Outside zone left, outside zone right. I got the playbook down.
Hey, it's complicated for some, not all.
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple for a running back for the Rams, you know. But, I mean, I think the key to this game, like, I think these teams are pretty even, you know, offensive, defensively. I really think the key, though, for Los Angeles is to be able to run the Cardinals into single high coverages. Like, the Cardinals have moved Buda Baker from, like, being the, like, eighth man in the box to playing single high and then put in Jalen Thompson, that other role there. And, like, I really think the key for him is just get him in a single high, and then that way Stafford can hit, like, one or two deep throws off play action and be able to, you know, really take advantage of those single high sets whenever they get it by, you know, running the ball to set that up. And then the second thing, too, is the Cardinals' second, third, and fourth cornerbacks suck. Robert Alford's bad. The other guy they have is bad. And this is like the game for Odell Beckham, I guess, because if you imagine you have a lot of Byron Murphy on Cooper Kupp, you know, like, Murphy's been really good this year, but it's like you double team, or you maybe even put Baker on Cooper Kupp, rotate him and, you know, Murphy in those spots, because this is a blitz-heavy, like, man coverage defense. And then, you know, put your second cornerback on Odell Beckham. Like, this is a big Odell Beckham game if the Rams win, I think, too.
Well, yeah, and because they don't like to trust Jefferson either, because Jefferson,
he only gets one catch for 65 yards.
Because he doesn't know the playbook either.
One catch, 65 yards.
But you're exactly right. I think that this is what it's going to be relying on. Matthew Stafford and Odell Beckham got to have that chemistry where, man, I can easily see Matthew Stafford blowing this, where he's going to have to be feeding Odell enough to where I feel like somebody's going to be off on certain pages. Because Cooper Kupp is just going to be – I would just double him the entire time. I would just put
Isaiah Simmons in front of him on every play and just say, punch him in the face, and then just have another cornerback behind him, you know?
That's all I would do every single time, because there's no way in hell at any time it's not going to be single coverage. I could promise you. And I could be able to handle anybody else on that team. That's why Odell has to turn into that special receiver that everybody, including himself, with that purple hair, keeps saying that he is. So this is where he needs to be able to prove it. And I hope Matthew Stafford actually goes out and shows it. The problem is, it's like Robin throwing the ball to Two-Face.
Okay.
I want to cheer for the hero because I love me some Robin, but I hate Two-Face.
You hate Two-Face, huh?
Well, yeah, because he's not a good person.
Oh, yeah, he's kind of a bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
I would rather call Odell Riddler.
Well, and the other thing is, like, the Rams' offensive line struggled last week. They gave up a lot of pressure. Their run game wasn't very good at all. Like, so, like, Zach Allen has been very good. Watt's back. They have Chandler Jones. They have Marcus Golden. Like, the Cardinals weren't blitz-heavy defense. Like, they have talent in the front seven, too. And so, like, I just think with all the concerns here, I really think it comes down to some deep shots to Van Jefferson and then Beckham having a really good game against the second wide receiver, because you assume Cup's going to get, like, 115 yards, you know, regardless. And I don't think Cup's going to beat you, but it's, like, the second and third guy. You can't have Jefferson do that. You can't Beckham do that. I think it's really kind of the key to it, because I don't think the Rams will run the ball very much, and I think Stafford will see some pressure too. But, like, what if Stafford has, like, three interceptions this game?
And he easily could, and that's my issue with it, especially with J.J. coming back. Everybody's going to be pumped up on that defense, ready to go.
It sucks the Cardinals are on the road, too.
I know, because otherwise...
they have actual home field advantage, unlike the Rams, where it's like people drinking vodka sodas, you know?
Well, I drink vodka sodas.
Yeah, but like for $15, you know?
I drink
wearing glasses and doing things like this.
Well, I don't do that. I don't do anything like that. I usually just sit down.
Yeah. So my pick for this one, I'm going Arizona 23, Rams 20. The Rams are 4-point favorites. I'm going with the underdog on this one.
I'm going with the Rams. I just think that the Rams are going to be able to perform well against the Cardinals. I'm just not confident that they're going to put up a lot of points. I have the Rams 31. I have the Cardinals 25.
I like it. I think it's too many points, though. I think both these offenses have just been pretty stinky lately.
Well, I know, but I think the Rams are going to be able to do something here. I think the offense is going to be able to put up some points finally. Because to your point, if not, woo-wee, LA's going to be in trouble.
Well, at least they have a first-round pick next year they can trade. Oh, they can't.
They can't.
At least they have cap. Oh, they don't.
They don't.
This is it. Like, this is as good as the team can be.
Yeah, they have nothing else.
Yeah. So to recap, we have Saturday, first game, Raiders at Bengals. Bengals 5.5-point favorites. I have Cincy 30-20. You have Cincy 41-22. Saturday night, Patriots, Bills. Ooh, it's a cold one. The Bills are 4-point favorites at home. I have Buffalo 27-13. You have Buffalo 28-18. Sunday afternoon or Sunday at noon, we have Eagles, Bucks. I have the Bucks are 8.5-point favorites. I have the Eagles with Tampa winning 30-23. You have the Bucks at 38-28 covering as well. Sunday, 3:30, the Nickelodeon game. Yeah, it's San Francisco. And I hate the new Nickelodeon game, by the way, too. You have all these, like, 30-year-olds going like, oh, this is so cool and epic. It's like, you're an adult. Grow up.
No, it's Nickelodeon.
It's not cool. No, this is funny. It's for babies. You're a baby. If you like the Nickelodeon game.
If they did like the Doug opening though,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Childhood.
It doesn't.
Stop taking away
nostalgia is a sickness. There's nothing good about nostalgia.
Except it puts dopamine in your brain. Sucker.
Yeah, and it shrivels your nuts up too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What does that do with anything?
That's what nostalgia does. So San Francisco, Dallas, the Cowboys 3-point favorites. I have Dallas 31-16. You have Dallas 31-27. Pittsburgh Chiefs Sunday night. Chiefs 12.5-point favorites. I have Kansas City 34-17. You have Kansas City 50-30. And then Monday night, Arizona, Los Angeles. The Rams are 4-point favorites. I have Arizona 23-20. You have the Rams 31-25.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Suck on that.
I'm excited for it. It's going to be funny. It's going to be fun. Ooh, or I'm going to be really quirky. I'm egg salad for it because it kind of sounds like excited.
Nobody wants egg salad.
I'm kind of egg salad for it.
You would be Toby from The Office.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would. You'd bring egg salad sandwiches to the beach.
No, I'd be Patrice.
Who's Patrice?
The comedian Patrice.
Wait,
who works in the warehouse.
I don't want to talk to you right now. See, this is
That'd be me.
God damn it, Michael!
That'd be me.
No, it
wouldn't. That'd be cool. I work in the warehouse, dude.
No, I'm not going to comment on what you just said. I know what you want me to say, but I'm not going to say
it. Or I'd be the 67-year-old Eastern European woman working in the warehouse with a bad haircut.
Madge?
Yeah, that'd be me.
That would be you more than anything.
Yeah. So that's our super wild card playoff preview. I think the time was good on this one. We talked for a lot. You know, we did the David Coley show, a lot of podcasting, you know, tonight. Just great times, great conversations, great friends.
Yeah, I'm retiring after this.
Great people. But I'll text you on Monday night if you want to get on the horse and do a playoff recap. If not, I'll talk to you
next
Thursday night to preview the divisional round.
I don't want to talk to you.
So have fun watching your Cowboys lose on Sunday. Until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Battle Red Radio.